Can we just go back to the old time church just for a second? By and by, when the morning comes, come on and help me. Oh, the saints, oh God, the gathering home, we will tell the story. How we overcome, we will understand it better by and by. Come on, church, put your hands together. Oh, singing by and by when the morning come. Oh, the saints, oh God, the gathering home, we will tell the story. How we overcome and we'll listen. Oh, we are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies, howling tempests, all succeed, arise and shine. In that land of perfect day, when the mist has rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Come on, church, put your hallelujah by. When the morning come, children of the saints of God, the gathering home, we will tell the story, how we overcome, and we'll understand it better. Come on, let's sing that chorus one. Hallelujah, by and by, oh, when the morning come, saints of God, the gathering home, we will tell the story, how we overcome, and we'll understand it better. Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Come on and let's give God some glory in the building today. Come on, let's give God some glory in the building today. They told me that I was coming for the 14th anniversary of a pastor that's still a pastor. They told me I was coming for a 14th anniversary of a pastor who doesn't send somebody to see the sick and shut in, but he goes himself. Come on, we ought to be able to give God some glory for an old-time pastor that still loves the congregation that God has given him. Shiloh, do I have any witnesses in the building today? Come on now, we ought to be able to give God some glory for the preacher of God. We ought to be excited today. We got so many pastors that have armor buried themselves up. You got to wait 6 months just to get a meeting to talk about wanting to join the church. But when we can find a pastor that still understands that it's the connection between shepherd and flock, we got to give God the glory. So Pastor Armstrong, we want to thank you for this invitation to be here today. I travel just about every weekend all over this country. And when Pastor Armstrong sent me a text message, I know he was getting hot with me because he sent me about 5 before I responded. But he said, Reverend, I want you to come and do my anniversary. He almost lost his religion for it. It's all right. We didn't fall out of the tree, saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But when he told me what he wanted, I canceled another engagement so that I could be here with him today. Because even though the presidency is all consuming, when I get a chance to just lift up the name of the Lord, can I get a witness in the building today? I jump at that opportunity. So Pastor, we thank you for this honor today. And I have to give honor to my pastor who just walked out, but my father and my pastor, the Reverend Lee Mason Jr., the pastor, senior pastor of the Northeast Baptist Church, and all of those that came with us today, and also to my blue and white family of Sigma and Zeta. Yeah. Now, I need you to understand that we don't want you to be cute today now. Y'all look good, but act like you know about the Lord. Amen? I want to see some shouting on that right side of the building today. Amen? We won't tell the conclave or the boule. It's all right. We can get our shout on today. Listen, I don't believe in preaching long, but I want to preach strong. And I'm going to ask you, if you would, to go to the 16th chapter of Luke. And I'm going to lift up just a few verses. And then we're going to say a word and move on. Starting at the 19th verse. And if you have it, say amen. If you're still looking in the Old Testament, come to Sunday school next week. And it says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass, listen to this, that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus receiveth evil things. But now, come on, somebody say now. He is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all of this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto, lest they also come into this place of torment. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in the presence of the Almighty. I thought about and prayed about what I could share with this pastor on this his 14th anniversary. I thought about and I prayed about what I could share with Shiloh Baptist Church on this Pastor Armstrong's 14th anniversary. And the gift that the Lord told me to give to you today, Pastor, is a sermon. A sermon that says the type of church every pastor longs for. The type of church every pastor longs for. Because you see, I grew up in the church, and I've seen the trials and tribulations that a man of God must go through to lead God's people. You know, I've seen what happens when the hellhounds begin to bark and the winds of popularity turn into the showers of discontent. You know, so this afternoon, Pastor, I want to talk to your church about the church that every pastor wants. You see, if you are a called preacher of the gospel, there is a design, there is a vision that you have for the house of worship that you've been charged to lead. It's my contention today that some of our churches have their priorities misplaced. Now, I'm not talking about Shiloh Baptist Church. I know everything is all right here. I know that, but there are some other churches represented in the building today that need to hear this word. priorities are an interesting thing. So many times we get ourselves in trouble because we have the wrong priorities. Let me make this thing personal. Many a home have been disrupted because mother or father or husband or wife failed to put their priorities in the right place. Can I get a witness in the building? We fall for the grass is greener scenario, or even if we know the grass isn't greener, it just smells good. And we step over on the other side and all hell breaks loose in our household. Can I get a witness in the building today? But church priorities, when misplaced, can be a dangerous thing. Where we sit becomes more important than how we worship. Who's leading the committee becomes more important than the impact that it's going to have on somebody's life. Our outfit becomes more important than our outpouring of praise for the Lord, acknowledging where He's brought us from. As Christians, church, when we think about priorities, our number one priority is to model ourselves after the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus fed the hungry, and yes, we should feed the hungry. Jesus clothed the naked, and yes, we should clothe the naked. Jesus healed the sick, and yes, we should work to provide relief for the sick. We must do all of that and more, but the first priority of the Christian church and the first priority of Christians is to win souls for Christ. We must, and this is my first point, we must tell a dying world that they will spend eternity somewhere. Whether young or old, rich, poor, black, white, or Asian, there's nothing that will prevent you or give you immunity from death. It's our job, yes, it's our mission to let lost souls know that they're going to spend eternity somewhere, and while they're walking down here, they ought to spend eternity with the Lord. Amen. Jesus completed many tasks while He was down here on earth. He changed many lives, but His mission was not complete until He went up on Calvary's cross and they hung Him high and stretched Him wide and they pierced Him in His side, and He died for our sins. Our first priority is to win souls for Christ. Church, we got to get our priorities in place. In this 16th chapter of Luke, we find Jesus teaching, as He liked to do, Pastor, through parables. And He was talking about the affairs of a certain rich man. He talked about the dishonest steward. And he was being called to task for mismanaging and wasting the goods of the rich man. The steward became nervous and full of anxiety. This job was the manner in which he measured himself. He was defined by his position, and to lose his job would be a crushing blow. The word says that the steward called all of the rich man's debtors together, made a listing of how much they owed, and then took portions of the debt from each to make up that which he squandered from the rich man. The rich man, being none the wiser, celebrated the steward. He gave him accolades, not knowing what had taken place, thus allowing him to maintain his position. Saints, let me tell you something. It's a dangerous thing when you sacrifice your integrity to impress man. It's a dangerous thing when you sacrifice your good conscience to make man happy. Because I don't know about you, but it wasn't man that woke me up this morning. It wasn't man that healed my sick body. It wasn't man that when I was wallowing in the muck and mire of depravity, sin filled, that lifted me up and told me to run on. Man can't give you salvation. So we cannot misplace our priorities by attempting to satisfy man. But as Jesus taught, the Pharisees were listening. Let me tell you something. When you preach truth to power, power gets angry. And the Pharisees were the religious elite of the day. They were the leaders. They were the strict Jewish leaders of the day. But on the flip side, guess what? They were hypocrites. On the flip side, they talked a good game on Sunday, but the rest of the week, they were robbing and stealing. Can I get a witness in the building? You see, they became high on their reputations, and they forgot all about God. Their priorities were misplaced. They heard Jesus teaching, and they became mad, for they saw themselves in the parable. They saw their conniving, dishonest practices in the parable. Can I just park right there for a minute? Church, when you see yourself in Pastor Armstrong's message, don't get hot with the preacher. Don't get on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Don't withhold your tithes and your offering. Pastor, that's how black folk let you know. They withhold their tithes and their offering. Don't withhold your tithes and your offering. But what you need to do is call on the Lord, acknowledge your fault, and say, Lord, make me stronger. I might step on some toes today, but that's all right. I drove myself here, and I'll drive myself home. The Pharisees got hot. They started to criticize Jesus. They tried to put him down and challenge his credibility in front of these folks. You see, the Pharisees had been blessed by God, elevated in the eyes of man, but yet their priorities were misplaced. Let me say this, God's blessed so many of these modern day churches, but how are we responding to the blessings? Listen, our people don't need entertainment. They need a testimony. Our people don't need vultures praying on the weak and the sick. They need some of those old time saints. They may not have gone to Stanford or Harvard or Yale, but when mama or daddy had to get a prayer through, they knew how to go to Sister So-and-so. Sister So-and-so would grab you by the hand and say, come here, baby. I'm going to get down on my knees. She may not have been versed in homiletics. She may not have known all about theology. But she said, precious Lord, take my head. Leave the order. Let me stand. Oh, we need some old-time saints. Can I get a shout-out for some old-time saints? Undaunted. Jesus didn't argue with them. He didn't get angry. He just pivoted. And he began to tell the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Now I'm going to give you just a little point that I want you to hold in your hip pocket for just about 6 minutes. You see, in this whole parable, the rich man was never given a name. But Lazarus had a name. And in Hebrew, Lazarus' name is Eleazar, which stands for God is my help. Oh, I'm ready to go right now. Put that in your pocket for just a second. Jesus tells us that the rich man lived a high life. He wanted for nothing. He dressed in the finest linens and he ate the best food. He was revered by all of society, and if my spiritual mind can go, he had access to the best private clubs. His children went to the best schools. Truly, favor was all over this rich man. But then there was Lazarus. The Bible says that Lazarus was poor, broken down, decrepit. We are told that his body was broken down and that even the dogs came to lick his wounds. Every day Lazarus positioned himself at the rich man's gate. Now surely this rich man saw Lazarus every day. He didn't have to exist on crumbs or leftovers. The rich man could have changed the condition of Lazarus and his life. But every day he just stepped over that rich, over Lazarus, and went on about his business. You see, the rich man forgot that he didn't come to all of this wealth on his own. He forgot that it was not he who provided the gateway to his own success. He forgot that his elevation in the eyes of man was a result of blessings that come from the Lord. All right, all right. Family, we got a lot of stuff But let me admonish you today. Don't get stuck on your stuff. Don't get stuck on your titles. Use whatever status that the Lord has given you to win souls for Christ. Here's my second point. Because it's the Lord who gives, and it's the Lord who taketh away. Can I get a witness in the building today? But the rich man kept on living, and Lazarus kept on begging. I'm sure the rich man thought he would never die. But after a while, and by and by, time started to work on that rich man. And time started to work on Lazarus. My brothers and sisters, time is the great equalizer. Time is an amazing thing. Let me tell you something. Time will turn the blackest of heads gray. Time will turn the healthiest of bodies into a loan from Uncle Arthritis. Time will turn the fastest sprinters into the slowest of walkers. Time will turn 20/20 vision into thick bifocals. And time will eventually bring our lives to an end. Here's my third point. For with time, nothing remains the same. That's what happened with the rich man. And that's what happened with Lazarus. The Bible says that both men eventually died. Now let my spiritual mind move for a second. Now I'm sure that the rich man had a lavish funeral. I'm sure that all of first century society showed up for a send-off, and I'm sure that he was placed in the finest tomb that money could buy. But Lazarus, on the other hand, was probably found by the side of the road. Somebody probably called social services to come and pick up his body, and I'm sure he was laid in a pauper's grave. I'm ready to preach right now. But I'm so glad that the story doesn't end there. I'm so glad that the story doesn't end with death. I'm so glad that when this earthly book gets done being written, there's another book going to be written by the author of authors. When the doctors say enough is enough, there's another life that's going to be resuscitated by the doctor of doctors. Oh, I'm so glad that death is not the end. For Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Job said, I'm going to a land where the wicked will cease from troubling, and the weary shall be at rest. For the Bible says this rich man, loved among men, aristocrats of the day, nameless to you and me, was buried and immediately sent to hell. But on the other side, I see God calling one of his angels, saying, son, I need you to go down to the rich man's house. And I'm sure that the angel was a little bit confused. He probably said, Lord, but the rich man is dead. You've already sent him to hell. He said, no, no, no. I want you to go down to his earthly mansion. Walk by the gold and the porcelain. Walk by all of the wealth that money can buy. And I need you to go outside to the gate and pick up my child Lazarus. You see, yeah, even though Lazarus was poor by man's condition, he knew that God was his help. Even though Lazarus had to beg for bread, he knew that God was his help. Even though Lazarus was sick in his body, he never stopped believing that God was his help. Lazarus had his priorities in order, and God placed him in the bosom of Abraham. Church, we've got to tell a dying world that they'll spend eternity somewhere. But here's what the word tells us. You can't repair your wrong walk in death. But the only way that you're able to get to glory is by walking on this earth the way that God tells you to walk. The only way that you get to glory is by having the faith the size of a mustard seed that God will move mountains. The only way that you get to glory is by being obedient to God on high. But I hope you understand this, and this is my final point. We got to have our priorities in order, because the end is soon to come. The world has a decision to make. Will it be God or will it be man? My brothers and sisters, on this, the 14th anniversary of Pastor Armstrong, let's give him a church that every pastor wants. God is calling us to be a church that saves souls. And I know that the devil gets busy in your life sometimes. I know that the going gets rough and the going gets tough. But God is calling us to be like a tree planted by the rivers of the water. I heard Peter say that upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This rock is Jesus. This rock is Jesus. Can I get a witness in the building today? This rock is Jesus. Does anybody in the building know Jesus? Is he a way maker? Will he walk you through the valley of the shadow of death? All you got to do is call on the name of Jesus, and he will see you through. Let me tell you something, and I'm going to take my seat. When you decide to be the church that God has truly called, when you decide to win souls for Christ, let me tell you what happens. The devil gets angry. The devil gets busy. That friend or family member that was walking by your side, you turn to your left, you don't see them anymore. The deacon or the trustee that's been giving you all of those words of encouragement, you turn to your left, you don't see them anymore. Even in your household, the devil will try to steal, kill, and destroy. But all I need you to say, Shiloh Baptist Church, is I will not turn around. I will not turn around. I say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. God bless you, Shiloh. God bless you, Pastor Armstrong. Keep on keeping on. And I know that if you trust and believe, he is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Prince of Peace. And some glad morning, when this life is over, when all of the hell has been put to rest, I'll see my Savior face to face. And I'll tell him, Lord, thank you for seeing me over here in the glory land. God bless you, Shiloh. The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. If there's one by letter candidate for baptism on your Christian experience that wants to lift up a praise to God and give their lives over to him, this is your time. It's your season to be blessed. I know that the devil doesn't want you to give your life up. You've been having a whole lot of fun. But let me tell you something. Happiness is temporary. But But joy in the Lord is permanent. So is there one today, by letter candidate for baptism on your Christian experience, that wants to give their lives to the Lord from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul? Yes, Lord. Completely, yes. My soul. Come on, church, you can sing that song. You know it. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.